The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Once more, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and Pharisees in parables. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who have been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, 'Look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When God spoke to the Jewish people in the centuries leading up to the coming of Christ, he often used images and symbols to help the people understand the beautiful gifts that he wanted to offer them, and how they would reach a new level of holiness and happiness and fulfillment under his care. So one of the images that is used is the image of a banquet, because a banquet is a time when everyone enjoys themselves. In the ancient world of Israel, banquets marked celebrations: a wedding, the birth of a child, the victory of a king. And everyone in the village would usually share in those events and in the happiness of the one household. So 800 years before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah records the vision that you just heard in the first reading. God speaks about a wondrous banquet on a mountaintop. Now, the Jews and the ancient peoples thought of the gods as living on mountaintops in the sky. So on this mountain, the Lord says to Isaiah, "I will prepare a feast of the richest foods, well-aged wines, fat meat, and strained clear wines." Now those words are a promise, but they're a promise that's also rooted in the details of Jewish life. So first, This banquet is going to be for all the nations of the world, not just for the Jewish people. It's going to be a rich feast, and it's going to include the finest wines and the fat of the meat. Meat filled with marrow, as they say here. Well, that said to the Jewish hearers, this has to be a sacrificial meal because we offer to God the best meat of our flocks in the temple. And the fat was burned as a sign of gratitude to God for feeding the people. But at this meal, everybody who sat down at the table was going to share in the fat and the marrow and the best meat. But this banquet wasn't simply to be a celebration of fine foods. It's more than that. On this mountain, the Lord will destroy death, take away the shrouds, wipe tears from all faces, and remove all shame and disgrace. Everyone will be honored. So this isn't simply a banquet that's going to satisfy the senses of the body. It's a banquet that's going to be a reward to our souls. The image is an image of heaven. And it will be said on that day, "This is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us." Well, who were the people waiting for? They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the deliverer. So the banquet will take place after the Messiah has come and brought salvation. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So Handel used this passage for his Messiah. You'll hear it sung in less than 70 days. Be afraid. Christmas is coming. And we use this passage also at funerals as a description of the happiness of heaven, of the time when tears are wiped away. There's no more grief. There's no more mourning. And all of this will come with the Savior, the Messiah. So that's the first reading. Now then, we look at the gospel, and we have Jesus telling the high priests another parable, giving them another chance to understand and accept him. And he uses the language of the wedding, of the feast. But he also uses other language. He talks about this being a wedding feast. Because one of the other images used in the Old Testament is that God loves his people so much that it can only be compared to the love between a husband and his wife, a bridegroom and his bride. So Jesus now uses that language because since he is now God made flesh, since now he has taken on himself human nature, we can say he has wedded humanity to himself. He has united himself to human flesh forever. And by becoming man, he seeks the love of all of us who will be members of his church. So now we have a description of a wedding banquet. And the wedding banquet is hosted by the king for his son, by God for Jesus. And then Jesus tells the story in a way that summarizes in just a few lines all the history of the Old Testament and the New. God prepares this wonderful wedding banquet. He sends out his invitations, but the people don't want to come. And instead of going to the wonderful wedding banquet, they continue to do ordinary things. They work on their farms. They try to make money with their businesses. But they don't appreciate what the king, God, is offering. He sends back his servants to them again to repeat the invitation without any blame, without any reprimand. And instead of simply ignoring them, this time, they kill the servants. And that's Jesus speaking about how the prophets were rejected, how his apostles will be rejected, how John the Baptist was put to death. So this time, the king is angry, and there is judgment imposed on the people, and their city is burnt and laid waste. And that's what will happen 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, when the Romans exterminate the citizens of Jerusalem and destroy the city. The king sends out his messengers once again, and he says, "Now, since these first invited guests have refused me and were not worthy, go out to the highways and the byways, the main streets and the crossroads, and bring in everyone, the good, the bad, and the ugly. They're all invited to my wedding feast." That's the apostles going out through the whole world and preaching the gospel, not just to the chosen people of Israel, but to all the nations of the earth, to our ancestors, and to us. And we're all gathered in to the wedding feast. The sinners who turn away from their sins, the good who seek something greater, all of us are invited to the wedding feast. But as the king goes through the wedding banquet, he sees one person who's not wearing a wedding garment. Now, since the king had his servants bring in the poor and the lame and the people at crossroads, he must have provided everyone with a wedding garment. But this man has refused to put it on. And that shows a disdain for what he's been offered. He doesn't recognize how important this gift is, how wonderful this privilege is. And the king says to him, "Why are you here without a wedding garment?" And the man has no excuse and no explanation. And so Jesus says, the king has him thrown out into outer darkness. Outer darkness is an expression of our Lord's time for hell. And he says, "Throw him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So the story is filled with symbolism. But what it comes down to is that Jesus is speaking to the high priests and the elders, and he's saying, God is making his final invitation to the world and to you through me. I am the one for whom this celebration is established. My becoming man is the joy of your salvation. And now all the peoples of the world will be invited into this banquet that was seen by Isaiah 800 years ago, and that I fulfill by my death and resurrection. Will you believe? Will you accept? And the same question Jesus asks of us today. Will you believe? Will you accept? But we can't simply answer in words. We don't simply say, yes, and that's the end of it. We're not saved simply by our faith in Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus asks us to perform works of charity, deeds of righteousness, to be men and women who give food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, who reach out to the poor, who provide shelter to the homeless, bury the dead, and perform all those other acts of mercy that demonstrate that we are truly disciples of Christ, that we understand what is being given to us, and that Jesus does not only love us, but the poorest of the poor, those who are most neglected, those who are most isolated, those who are most in need. And he expects that we, understanding that step by step, will do whatever is possible for us to answer their needs, to do what is right, to be compassionate, to be merciful, to be forgiving, to be generous, to give of ourselves to others. That's our vocation. That's our calling. That's how we enter into heaven, appreciating what has been given to us. The Catechism of the Church reads, "To gain the kingdom, words are not enough. Deeds are required." So each of us is meant to live more and more selflessly. Not selfishly, selflessly. Looking to the needs of others. Doing what is possible for us. If we can't do a great deal, we can do that little bit well and lovingly for the sake of Christ. And when we do this, we please him, and we are clothed in a robe of righteousness. Our wedding garment is made up of good deeds, of acts of love. So as we come to Holy Mass today, as we ask the Lord to hear our prayers, to bless us, to watch over our families, to answer the questions that beset us, and to fill our hearts with his mercy and his peace, we also have to bring to the altar our worship. And our worship is not simply the prayers that we say or the envelope that we put into the basket. Our worship is also the good deeds that you have done in the week just past. How you have reached out of yourself, gone beyond the close circle of your family and friends. How you have loved that circle of family and friends well and generously, but also how you have extended your eyes and your heart and your open hands beyond that circle of those who love you back. Jesus asks us to reach out to those who do not know how to love, who are not able to love, and to teach them how by our example. So the gospel today provides an examination of conscience, not in order to make us feel down, but in order to lift us up, in order to lift up our eyes and our hearts to him and to those around us, and remind us that whatever may be our past, our future is in his hands and his heart and in our own free will. We can become different. We can turn towards him and find everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.